This is New England Public Radio. In 1960, a famous literature professor at Smith College was arrested for having gay pornographic materials in his Northampton, Massachusetts apartment. 4 decades later, that scandal was the basis of a nonfiction book. Now, the story is getting a new telling, an operatic one, on the very college campus where the original events took place. New England Public Radio's Karen Brown has this report.
Let's do just basses and altos.
About a dozen singers, professionals, and students sit in a theater at Amherst College as choral director Gregory Brown leads them through lyrics you don't often hear in opera.
We'll start right on kinky, right on kinky. 1, 2, 3, and kinky, sneaky, call me kinky.
They're rehearsing for the fall premiere of a new five-college opera production, The Scarlet Professor, based on Northampton writer Barry Wirth's book of the same name.
And they've magically, I think, transformed this into a kind of a musical theater piece, very, very different from the treatment that I gave it, but in its bones, very close, I think, to the actual truth of the events.
Wirth spent years researching the arrest of Smith College English professor Newton Arvin, who was an expert on Nathaniel Hawthorne's classic, The Scarlet Letter. On Labor Day weekend in 1960, Arvin's apartment was raided by the Massachusetts Police Anti-Smut Unit and the local postmaster, who found Beefcake magazines as well as Arvin's sexual journals.
The Postal Service is on us.
The incident led to Arvin's public humiliation, his outing of two close colleagues as gay, the end of all their careers at Smith, and eventually, Wirth says, two pivotal court decisions on obscenity and privacy, though too late to help Arvin.
In 1960, there was a purity binge in the United States. McCarthyism as a political movement was spent, but it was picked up with a kind of puritanical zeal by social conservatives, both on a national level and in Massachusetts.
After reading Wirth's book, composer Eric Sawyer of Amherst College and lyricist Harley Erdman of UMass decided to turn it into an opera. Like the book, the opera draws parallels between Arvin's public disgrace and that of Hawthorne's heroine Hester Prynne, who was forced to wear the letter A on her dress for adultery.
And so did I like Hawthorne before me, build my own dismal chamber.
The opera, which stars tenor Bill Haidt, tells Arvin's story mostly through flashbacks and his imagination after he checks himself into the Northampton State Hospital for psychiatric treatment.
And now the world sees the sickness in our hearts. I can't go forward.
I'm not drawn to art that deals with heroes.
Lyricist Harley Erdman.
I'm actually drawn to art with people who are the people who are tormented, conflicted, unsuccessful, failing, and yet come to some kind of transformation where they can take action.
Composer Eric Sawyer admits he needed a little convincing to see Arvin as a compelling central character.
He was a victim in that he was caught up in a witch hunt and was subject to invasion of privacy, which a few years afterwards would have been unconstitutional. But he also was a difficult character to consider completely admirable because he named names. He named the names of his friends.
Now I turn 60. My life is over.
In the end, though, Sawyer connected with the complexity of Arvin's motives.
He had trouble liking himself, and that, I think, is sympathetic. I think it's something a lot of people can relate to.
Newton Arvin was forced to retire from Smith after the scandal, while his colleagues were fired. He wrote one more literary biography before he died, 3 years later, at 63. Opera director Ron Bashford.
Even though this was a very painful period for Arvin and he was outed against his will, ultimately it helped him become a more integrated, honest person. So he didn't live that much longer after all of this happened. But he did somehow manage to become, as he said, a person at peace with himself.
They will never cast their shadows on my way.
The opera will debut, fittingly, on the Smith College campus in September, along with a symposium about the Arvin case. Smith English professor Michael Thurston says no matter how far the college has come since 1960, from gay rights to free speech,
I think we are the product of our histories. There's no getting away from the fact that wherever we are around any issue in 2017, we got there through the actions of past actors, whether they were individuals or institutions.
And putting that history on stage, he says, could help stop it from being repeated. For New England Public Radio, I'm Karen Brown.